Okay, great. It sounds like the join notifications have slowed down a little bit, so perhaps we can get started. As usual, Alice is keeping track of who is on the call, and we will send that around to the mailing list after the call in case anybody gets missed. But one thing that would be helpful is if anyone is not in the Adobe Connect meeting room, if you could make yourself known right now by saying your name.
Hello, this is Mary Dumas. Hello?
Hi, Mary. Are you...
Hi. Yes, I have limited connection, so I'm not on Adobe. I can only so you not see me raise my hand if I want to speak. I hope you don't mind. I would just ask for floor and not raise my flag.
Yep, that's fine. Just let us know when you want to speak.
All right.
And yes, that's
all
a good
right.
reminder. We will be using the raise hand functionality to run the queue today. So if you at any point want to get in the queue, everyone who's in the Adobe Connect meeting room should hit the little man with his hand raised. Do we have anyone else who's not in the meeting room, who's only on the audio bridge?
Excuse me. If you hear me, please indicate that whether... I just want to test, I raised the hand whether it is in the queue or not, because this is the first time I am using this system. Previously, I did not use that. Thank you.
Hi, Kalus. So I heard you. I think we all heard you, but I do not see your hand raised in the meeting interface. So you might want to try again.
But I pushed the button, but I don't know what is the problem. I pushed the button. If you can't see that, then I won't be able to talk.
So there's actually a little drop-down menu, at least on mine. There's a little drop-down menu next to the man with his hand raised, and you can select raise hand. So if you want to try again. Hartmut raised his hand. Did you have something you wanted to say, Hartmut? Okay. Well, if people have trouble with the hand raising, I mean, that should be your default, but if for some reason it doesn't seem to be working, or if I read out the list of who's in the queue and you don't hear your name and you thought you should be in there, just speak up and I'm happy to put you in the queue. So as you can see, I think in the meeting notes in the meeting room, we have three agenda items today. The first one is the minutes approval from our two August conference calls. So these minutes have been out on the public mailing list for more than a week, I think, a week and a half. So hopefully people have had time to review them. And I wanted to know if anyone has objections to adopting these minutes and publishing them on the website. And I see Heather in the queue. Heather.
Thank you, Alyssa. Yeah, I have a suggested adjustment to the meetings for the second teleconference. It's under 4 consensus process, and it's to the summing up of the comments that I made to the call. One of the sentences, it's reading as not the intended meeting, or it's not quite capturing the point that I wanted to make. But I have what I hope is a quick and easy fix to that lack of clarity, to take the sentence that begins, "She explains that GAC members," just remove part of the sentence to simplify it, so that it then reads, "She explains that GAC members on the ICG could not vote on such narrow issues." And I can send this now to the Adobe room as well, so you have the precise text. but for the purposes of clarity, I think it's an important point. And with that, I would be able to agree to finalizing the minutes for the second teleconference.
Okay, great. Thank you, Heather. If you don't mind, yeah, perfect. You just sent it into the mailing list. Actually, I mean, into the chat window. If you wouldn't mind just sending it to the mailing list as well, that would be fantastic. I know we don't necessarily need two records of it, but it would be good to have on the mailing list. Thank you. Is there anyone else who has a suggested change or needs more time to approve the minutes?
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Manal Ismail speaking. I have just joined. I'm sorry, I'm a bit late. So I'm still joining the Adobe room. I'm not there yet. So.
Okay. Thank you, Manal. I have Jean-Jacques in the queue. Go ahead, Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Alicia. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. Would it be possible for staff to put on the window in meeting notes or in the larger window of Adobe Connect the reference or the text as we along through the agenda? It's always useful to have the text, if possible, or at least the link in the community chat so that we can check on the latest version, because it's sometimes a bit difficult to follow and to know what is the very latest version of anything we're discussing. Thank you.
Sure. So we're actually looking at the minutes. I mean, there's two sets of minutes that we're trying to approve right now. We're looking at one of them in the main window. I can see it. I don't know if others can see it. And then we'll switch to the next.
Yes, I meant as a general principle. I didn't mean just on this specific point of the minutes. Thank you, Alicia.
Oh, okay, got it. Thank you.
Excuse me, Alicia. As I mentioned, I have difficulty with raise of hand. I have two points to make before you start the review of this document. How could I get to? Because I don't have difficulty with hand raising.
Go ahead. There's no one in the queue right now, so go ahead.
Yes. Is it shows that I'm the queue, or just you give me the queue? If it is shows in future, I don't interrupt you. But if it is not shows, I want two points to make before you start. First of all, I would like to request you how you want to go through this document. I suggest that if you have not different approach, first, once we discuss some principle, I have two small principles for how to do that. Go through them paragraph by paragraph, not to back and forth from up to down. To see if one paragraph, it is finished, we approve that, and we don't need to come back to that. This is the procedure. And then I have two comments to make. First comment, the consensus building document is not a treaty. We need not to go through that from A to Z to see the total perfection. This is a result of the consensus among the ICT members after collective effort by many, many colleagues 2 days, and in particular the last week after 82 exchange of email. It is not perfect. It should not be perfect. It should reflect the consensus and the agreement of the people. So if there is no real mistake, we should not try to make any drafting or any change of the work of any perfection. The only thing, if there is a real mistake in view of somebody, or if the view of anybody has not been reflected properly in the document, it could raise it, but not starting the redrafting or introducing new words. And I thank you very much.
Thank you, Kavus. points are very well taken. I think I did just want to close on the minutes. I think we have approval for the minutes, and then we will move on to the consensus document in one moment. So I think we have approval for these minutes pending the change suggested by Heather. So we will work with Samantha to get that sorted. So with the introduction from Cavus, let us move on to the consensus building document, and I am going to attempt to share from my screen the clean version. That's my hope anyway. Just give me 1 second. Are people able to see the document?
I can.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Great. Okay.
Yes.
So what we are looking at is the version of the decision-making document that I sent a little less than 24 hours ago. This is the clean version, which incorporates the latest not editorial suggestions that were sent today, but anything that was sent up until yesterday. Let me increase the size. Hopefully people can see it better now. Let me know if you can't see it. So this is the version that we're looking at. It includes all the editorials up until today, but not the ones from today, which we will go through in a separate section. So my first question that I think, you know, people should be very familiar with the content of this document at this point, as was stated, there have been many email exchanges. We've been talking about this for a long time. So I'd like to go through this in two steps. The first step would be to see if there are any substantive non-editorial issues that people have that remain with this document. And the second phase, we will talk about editorial issues. So the first question is whether anyone has a substantive point to raise. I hope we don't really need to go through one paragraph at a time. We have looked at this document. We're all very familiar with it. So I'd rather that if people have substantive topics to bring up, that they do that now. Raise your hand or let me know that you want to be in the queue, and then we will move on to editorial. And I'm happy to scroll if people want to scroll to a particular portion, or obviously you all have this yourselves on your own machines. So.
Hello, Alisa, this is Jean-Jacques. Perhaps if staff could allow each of us to scroll at her or his own rhythm, that would be very convenient. Because, for instance, I have read the post of point one and point two. Thanks.
Sure. I think that's something Alice can do. I don't think that's something that I control.
I am sorry, maybe I was not clear in my comments.
Go ahead, Cavus. There's no queue.
I suggested that, as you mentioned, if there is no general comment, then the specific comment should be treated paragraph by paragraph. Did I request you kindly to start and clear paragraph by paragraph, in order to allow us not to go back and forth between various paragraphs. This is the way that I suggest, if you agree and if the English colleague agrees.
Thanks. So I guess my assumption here was that I thought if there were any substantive outstanding issues that we could get to those first, and with the hope that there wouldn't actually be very many of them. And then we can kind of get into editorial, and if we need to go paragraph by paragraph, that would be okay. But again, given that this text has been is very familiar to everyone, I'd rather that people just raise the issues that they have, and at the end, if we don't have any issues, then we will be done, and that would be fantastic, and we have other things to talk about. So that's the approach that I think we should take. So the current question is substantive issues, and if we don't have any, that's perfectly fine. So I see a question from Jean-Jacques about being able to scroll individually. I'm happy to hand the projection back to staff if people feel that's necessary. Obviously, everyone has this document themselves because it's been on the mailing list and in Dropbox, and I definitely want to be able to do live editing myself when we get into the editorial section. But while we're talking about substantive issues, we can do it either way. So if people feel that they need to scroll within Adobe Connect, then I can give the projection back to Alice. So let's take, 30 more seconds, see if anyone raises a substantive issue. I see a lot of support in the chat room, which is fantastic. okay, so how about we look into some of these editorial issues, since it doesn't seem that anyone has a substantive issue. So let's see here. So I think people should be seeing now a document that is marked editorial updates. Can someone confirm that you can see editorial updates now?
Yes.
Great. So this version of the document contains all of the editorial updates that were sent to the mailing list today. I believe those are from Lynn, Manal, Narelle, Wolf, Ulrich possibly had a comment on one of them. So that's what we're looking at now, and I agree with the suggestion from Cavus. I think we should take the time to look at these and allow people to comment on them. So let's start in section one, if anyone has comments on the editorial suggestion in section one, which was made by Lynn.
My only question on that, this is Russ, is should we, since we're doing this secretariat RFP, should we also list them as not included in the decision making? Or should we just stop after full members of the ICG period?
I'm happy to include secretariat. That's certainly true.
Alisa, sorry, I didn't understand the question. What is the question, please?
So I think that the question here was whether whether to include the Secretariat in the list of people who are not included in the decision-making process. And actually, I realized that I cut off some words here, so I think the suggestion would be something along these lines.
May I make a proposal where you put that?
I just did it within the live editing. So the proposal is that the second sentence of the document would now read, participation in the decision-making process is reserved to the full members of the ICG and hence does not include ICANN board liaison, ICANN staff liaison expert, or secretariat. Any objections to this text as is? Okay. So I think we are good with that one. Moving down to section two. Another suggestion by Lynn, the new sentence that you can see in the third paragraph there, which reads, at all times, ICG members should expect and hold themselves to respectful articulation of any points of disagreement. So that's one change that you can see. And the other one is a suggestion from Mary that the uppercase M in the word members be changed to lowercase so that it matches the usage in the rest of the document. So comments on the text that you can see here.
Alyssa, it's Lynn. Maybe you're going to address this separately, but I had also suggested that the sentence above that be edited somewhat to make it more clear. I don't know if you're going to...
My apologies. I missed that. I thought it was just a repetition of what was already there. No. So let me try to work that in.
It was just that, of course, express disagreement is obviously not grounds for...
Oh, I see.
Alyssa, may I come in about chapter two? This is Jean-Jacques.
Yeah, just give me 1 second to finish this with Lynn. Lynn,
sure.
Does the version on the screen accurately reflect your suggestion now?
I think so. I'll just dig up the other text in the back.
Thank you. Go ahead,
Jean-Jacques. Thank you, Alyssa. This is about the first sentence under number two. Where it says SOIs, a statement of interest, but I thought that this was about the conflict of interest. Because statement of interest, I mean, we all have already out there somewhere in the archives all of our statements of interest about why we chose to be candidates for the coordination group. That's something completely different. I think what is important is a statement of conflict of interest so that everyone knows that, for instance, A works for this corporation, B works for this or that community group, et cetera, et cetera. Isn't that the case? Thank you.
So perhaps, I don't know if Wolf Ulrich is on the call or not. This is text that he suggested. My personal understanding was that the statement of interest that we all gave contains essentially the information that you just described, Jean-Jacques, that was covered. But Wolf Ulrich, I will defer to you.
Yeah, thanks, Alyssa and Jean-Jacques, who is speaking. Well, this text is taken from what is in the GNSO working group guidelines. So as usual, as members are providing SOIs there. And that was from the beginning here in this text, so when we started with the text. So, and the statement of interest, it includes statement of conflict of interest as well. That means what you were asking, what I understood you were asking, Jean-Franc, is where people are associated with and working with, so that is included. If you go to that SOI form in the related link, then you will see that. So that's what's behind of it. Thanks.
Yes, this is Jean-Jacques, if I may answer to that. Thank you, Wolf, for the explanation. But you see, I think that the GNSO definition perhaps is a bit narrower. I've seen throughout ICANN, and by the way, elsewhere, but also when I was a member of the ICANN board, that statement of interest is something which is published right at the beginning. That's quite normal. Here what we're talking about actually should be more accurately defined. It is that anyone who considers that he has or may have a conflict of interest should declare that conflict of interest. For instance, I don't know, I'll say anything, but my name is Larry Page and I invented Google, for instance. So it's a simple statement and it indicates a possible conflict of interest, that's all. If I may add something, you see the problem with SOI, statement of interest, is that it is ambiguous. It is used in many different ways in different contexts. For instance, when you are applying for a position on the ISOC Board of Trustees, you submit an SOI. When you submit something for the ICANN board, it's the same, etc. So that doesn't say and does not necessarily contain the notion of conflict of interest. I think what is important here, especially under the heading of individual and group behavior and norms, it is the conflict of interest. That statement is important. Thank you.
So this is Alyssa. Just one follow-up question for you, Jean-Jacques. Do you envision that, you know, as you said, we have all made statements and there's a matrix that we published that contains all of the information that we have provided about where we work and where our funding comes from and all of that. Do you envision that there's actually more physically that we each need to disclose, or if we sort of change the language here to say statement of interest and conflict of interest, that that would establish the right norm, which we have already met because we have all disclosed that information.
Yes.
The second, the latter.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. I think your question is very enlightening because it points exactly to the problem. Is that I'm not calling for more disclosure. That's, after all, it's left up to each of us to determine whether she or he considers that what is already published is sufficient. It's a matter of moral trust. But here we're in the case of establishing norms. It says so in the title, individual and group behavior and norms. So I think we should state the norm, which is that it is normal, or it is, yes, there should be a statement of conflict of interest. And it's very currently, I think, in the United States and North America, it is called COI, Conflict of Interest Statement. Thanks. Well, if you want to put both as someone is doing just now, that's you, Elisa. Yes, that's you. I don't mind. I mean, provided you put COI, I'm fine with SOI as well. Thank you.
Okay, so I did a little edit. People should look at that. Wolf Ulrich is in the queue, so go ahead.
Thank you. Before you speaking. Well, just briefly, the term SOI is a fixed term and relates to a fixed statement, and which is, you know, outlined and has a kind of form and format which is in the from a GNSO point of view, especially in a GNSO, for example, we do the following over the time. GSOI and the COI, the conflict of interest may vary or may alter, since, you know, this working group is working for more than 1 year, for example, and people are changing and moving around to other duties and so. What we are doing is we asking at each meeting whether there is has been a change of somebody, SOI, you know, in most cases. There's no answer to that, but it's a form. It's a kind of form that we are doing so, and we should think about whether we should do that with our meetings as well, and then it's covered. Thanks.
Thank you, Rolf, if I may answer. This is Jean-Jacques. If I may here again, propose a wide experience which is based on, for instance, the board of ICANN, which is larger than the GNSO, its remit. And in the board of ICANN, it was felt necessary to underline at the level of principles and norms that conflict of interest statements should be made. So I think that the solution just proposed by Elisa satisfies both your point of view, Wolf, which is based on GNSO practice, and the conflict of interest, which I suggested adding, because that is something which is much more appropriate under behavior and norms. Thank you.
Thank you to you both. So I know that there was some slightly different text suggested in the chat room. I think they essentially cover same thing, although maybe not, Keith Drazik. So I guess, let's see, and if I can try to do this on the fly to accommodate.
This is Jean-Jacques. I agree with Keith's suggestion. In other words, SOIs to include any conflicts of interest are required. That's okay.
Okay.
And you could put after conflicts of interest brackets COI. Thanks.
Okay. I think we should move on. It sounds like we have a good solution here. People seem happy enough, as far as I can tell. So let's do that. Thank you for that point. So if we come down, so down here at the bottom of this first page, Manal had noted that the link in the footnote right here was not operational. If you follow the link, it didn't lead you to anything. And Wolf Ulrich has provided the corrected link. So unless there are any comments on that, I will continue to scroll. Okay.
This is Mary. Alicia?
Yes. Yes, Mary, go ahead.
Because I'm not in the chat room or at the bin, may I know the paragraph you're referring to, please?
So the one that I was just referring to is the footnote on the first page.
Okay.
And I will try to keep saying which text we're talking about.
Sorry, what was Manas' comment there? Sorry.
The hyperlink in the footnote was not functional. It did not lead. It led to a broken link. So Wolf Ulrich provided the corrected link, which now works. Okay. So moving down to section 3, Third paragraph in Section 3, between Narelle and Manal and Lynn and possibly others, there were a few word edits that were made to the third paragraph of Section 3. I won't read it. I will let people read it for themselves. But please comment if you have comments to make about this text. And I should note here, there was also a comment about possibly, I think, deleting the last paragraph here or changing the order of the paragraphs. And I sort of thought, again, not to let the perfect be the enemy of the good and actually left in all the text that had been there and left it in the same order, since hopefully it means essentially the same thing regardless of which order it's in. So that was kind of editorial executive decision. Okay. Seeing some agreement in the chat room and not hearing any objections, I will continue to scroll. So Section 4, we actually didn't have any more editorial in Part A. Perhaps over in Part B, as it turns out. Let me just see it down here if there was any other changes. No, that was the last change that was suggested today, was that change in Section 3. So at this point, I mean, we've already said if anyone wanted to bring up substantive issues, then there weren't any of those. Does anyone have a burning editorial issue that we haven't discussed? On any part of the document, any page, any section.
Excuse me, Alyssa, you were on Section B. Now you are over other
sections.
Alyssa. What section?
Alyssa.
One second, Jean-Jacques. So, Section 3 was the last place where we had additional editorial suggestions. So at this point, the question is, does anyone have any other editorial suggestions on any part of the document? I'm glad to sort of keep scrolling slowly if people want to do that one more time. But I think we're essentially closing in on finalizing the document. So Jean-Jacques, and then Manal is in the queue.
Thank you, Alyssa. This is Jean-Jacques. Do you mind, Alyssa, coming back just to the last paragraph of 2? I'm sorry, I have to invoke my old age to justify my slow pace, but those two paragraphs, actually, yes. So, my question, don't move it too much, otherwise I'll lose track. There's a paragraph which starts by, the ICG will make all reasonable efforts to enable stakeholder communities to have appropriate time, etc. The next sentence, where appropriate and practicable, public comment periods will also be provided. So I should have noticed this much earlier during the email exchanges, but I must confess that I missed that. Now it strikes me that it's a bit, a bit ambiguous. I mean, either we do something or we don't. So where appropriate and practicable, public comment periods will also be provided. I think that throughout the internet governance area, and especially in ICANN at least, public comment periods are not left to the appreciation of groups. I mean, it is a principle. So could anyone give me guidance on this and say whether this sentence as it stands now is appropriate? Thanks.
So I can just give my reaction and or my interpretation of this. I think, you know, it depends a little bit on what you think a substantive decision is, but there are some decisions that we have made where we have not sought public comment and where I think that maybe we wouldn't need to. For example, the scheduling of our next meeting, you know, I'm sure if we thought about all the decisions we've made since July, we could come up with a couple others. So I was assuming that that was the intent here, was that, you know, we will certainly have public comment periods for anything, you know, related to the content of the transition. It's not the case that for every single decision that we make, we will have a comment period. But that was just my interpretation. Manal is in the queue. Manal, did you want to speak to this issue, or did you have a separate issue?
No, it's a separate one. Just a minor editorial thing on page 2, the fourth paragraph, under section 3, I think there's a missing full stop at the end of the paragraph. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So other comments about public comment periods?
This is Russ. I can say I interpreted it the same way you did, just articulated when I read it, that internal decisions didn't need public comment periods, but other things like charters and timelines and so on, we have had public comment, and that's what we meant.
So Jean-Jacques, does that seem reasonable to you now, if we assume that this covers the waterfront of all decisions that we might make?
Yes, thank you, Alicia. This is Jean-Jacques. For me, it's okay. It's just that I wanted to make sure that we, as the coordination group, would not run into trouble. Because we do not apply the ordinary rules, and I must say that I've forgotten them. I don't know whether, for instance, in ICANN, public comment periods are compulsory, as it were, or it's just the where appropriate and practicable. I have a slight doubt about that, but if someone can tell me in an authoritative way that that is from the legal standpoint or from the point of view of, let's say, the ATRT, fine, I have no problem. But I just wanted to make sure, does anyone on this call who is a member of ICG have any experience of working in ATRT 1 or 2? So if I may quote my friend and colleague Alan Greenberg, who sent me on another chat related to this Adobe Connect chat, his opinion, which is some ICANN processes require a public comment, such as specific places in the PDP. Others, it is a judgment call, etc. So I think that with that, I would accept the formulation as it is. Please understand that I was not trying to bring up a new point. It was just that I wanted to make sure that we wouldn't put ourselves on the right, on the wrong side of some argument. Thanks.
Thank you for relaying that.
I have a question, Alisa.
Yes, go ahead.
I think if you read this paragraph, the first part is clear. The ICG will make all reasonable efforts to enable stakeholder communities to have appropriate time to consult on issues on which the ICG will make substantive decisions. This is clear. Then we have a full stop, and then we have when appropriate and taxable public comment period will also be provided. This is who decide that it is appropriate. It is ICG decides appropriate to give a period for the public comment. This is my question.
Yes.
The sentence is sorry.
Yes, that, this is Jean-Jacques. Exactly, Kavus, that was the point. But I see on the chat, Kavus and Alisa, I see that Manal was on our ATRT1 and Demi Gechko was on ATRT2. May I suggest, Alisa, that you invite both of them to give their authoritative view on this so that we can go on to something else?
Anyone is free to speak. Manal had her hand up and is now down.
Alisa, this is Yari. I also want to speak, but I can't raise my hand.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to make the point that our charter actually does say very clearly that public reviews are, or comment periods are needed. So I think for the substantive things, we are covered already through the charter. And I'm at least personally happy with the text in the consensus document as is.
Alisa, can I ask again the question? Please.
Oh, so we have a queue now. So Wolf Ulrich and then Kavus and, of course, Manal and Demi, if you would like to speak. Please get in the queue.
Oh, thanks, Alisa, Wolf Ulrich speaking. I think here, you know, we didn't get to that point here by putting this sentence here in, by saying so we would like to have criteria on where to decide upon a public comment period or not. So it's clear, it's fully clear to this community, to this group, that there should be public comment periods. So I was thinking whether it may help, because this is included here in a paragraph which is called, I think, principles or so, it's or behavior, group behavior. So it's not to decide upon a specific kind of public comment periods. But maybe if we just read it like this, you know, it is seen as appropriate and practicable. It is seen as appropriate and practicable to provide public comment periods. Full stop. So that's what is it behind. And as Yari said, well, in the charter is also fixed. So for me, is that fully clear? Thank you.
Go ahead, Kavus.
Alisa, my problem is not the substance of the text, the way it is drafted. I understand that there would be a possibility of public comment. I understand that where appropriate and practicable. First of all, who decide? I understand, if I am right, ICG will decide. Then when we say will be decided, then will also be provided. Who will that? We should clearly mention it. Where appropriate and practicable, ICG will provide sufficient or, I don't know, appropriate period for public comment. We should say who will decide that, will be by whom. That is the problem of the structure of this small paragraph or small sentence. I have no problem
Thank
with the
you.
Substance.
Okay, so please take a look at the edit, which was just suggested by Jean-Jacques, which I think I got correct, which I think speaks exactly to that point. And Manal.
Excuse me,
Manal.
Hello, Lisa. This is Jean-Jacques. Yes, I think that you captured it exactly.
Okay. So maybe
yes,
I understand
I'm
that we.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Go ahead, Manal.
Thank you, Lisa. So this is Manal again. Sorry, I was on mute. I'm happy with the suggestion of Jean-Jacques. And I was just going to say that as far as I recall, what ACRT1 has done was that we had one set of output that went through public comments. We had also non-substantial issues like who's going to chair the meeting and who are the vice chairs and so on, which did not go, of course, for public comments, but we did not get into those specific issues. We did not have everything in writing, if I may say. So it was just like procedural things went internally within the group and substantial issues, which was basically one document went through public comments. But again, I think the text Jean-Jacques suggested is fine and addressed this. Thank you.
Thank you, Manal. Joe, allow me to invoke the chair's privilege for a second and let's see what happens after that. It sounds like we don't have, like we have agreement on the edit as it appears on the screen, which has deleted the full stop and now added a clause at the end of the sentence that says including through public comment periods. If there are, Joe, unless you have an objection to that, I would love it if we could wrap. So if you have an objection.
Alyssa, this is Mary. Alyssa?
Yes. Go ahead, Mary.
This is Mary. Can I go ahead?
Go ahead. It appears that Joe has lowered his hand. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay. Please, since I'm not in the chat room, I'm not seeing the Adobe, can you read out what Jean-Jacques has added
yes.
to the sentence so
yes.
that I can follow, please?
Yes, yes, I'm sorry. So the so this is the last paragraph of Section 2. The first sentence now reads as follows.
Yes.
The ICG will make all reasonable efforts to enable stakeholder communities to have appropriate time to consult on issues on which the ICG will make substantive decisions, including through public comment periods.
Okay.
And then the next
right.
sentence continues as before, public comments received as a result of a public consultation, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Sure.
I'm happy with that. I don't have problem with the sentence.
Great.
And the import
thank
of
you.
The paragraph, I don't have problem with it.
Thank you. So, I would like to ask if there are any further objections to adopting this document.
Alyssa, I have a problem with that.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think you need to add the...
This is, please say your name. Go ahead, Caboose.
Yes. I believe at the end of what Jean-Jacques proposed, which is correct, including so on and so forth, you need to add comma where practicable and appropriate. Sometimes may not be practicable. So we have to have this qualificative part in order to allow ICG to decide on the situation and not totally tied in the hand of the ICG.
Is that not accommodated by the fact that we say we'll make reasonable efforts at the beginning of the sentence?
Alyssa, I'm sorry. You know that how much problem I have with all of these adjectives, reasonable, so on and so forth. And I think that the sentence including so were practicable and appropriate. I have no problem to leave reasonable or not, but I think this should immediately comes after this including, because this goes to the including. It doesn't go to the suitable or enable power stakeholders, go to the providing the time, so it goes to the including. So after the including so and so, then it says where fashionable and appropriate.
Jean-Jacques, could you live with where practical and appropriate?
If that is the price to pay, I don't mind.
Ooh, I like to hear that. Okay. Okay, so this has now been edited. Final clause at the end of the sentence, including through public comment periods, comma, where practical and appropriate. Now, are there any objections to adopting this document? The whole document. I hear none. I see none in the chat room. So I believe we can, we have consensus to adopt this document, and I will work on producing a clean version and send it to Alice to get it up on the website. So thank you, huge thank you to everyone for your efforts on this document. And now we have very little time left, but I would like very much to talk about ICANN 51. So hopefully people can see on the in the meeting room, you can see a list of our schedule. We have two confirmed events at ICANN 51. We have a public session with the community, which will be on Thursday morning, and we've talked a little bit about the structure of that. I don't really want to talk about that today. Patrick is leading the charge on the agenda for that session, and we have our working meeting scheduled for October 17th, which is an all-day meeting like the one we had on September 6th. The question that we have open, I think, is about side meetings with various ICANN constituencies. I sent a long mail about this not too long ago. Many of you read it. We had some discussion about this on September 6th. The idea of these meetings being that we would have a high bandwidth exchange with various different communities about how they can engage in the operational community processes of transition plan development. So I'm hoping we can stay, we can keep go a couple minutes over and have some quick discussion about this. I know people had been, some people had been in favor, some people had been opposed to this idea, and I really need to get back to the people in the GAC and in ALAC and other communities who have asked about these meetings. They are, the people that I'm talking to are very much in favor of this kind of engagement, and they need to get their schedules done. So please join the queue if you have an opinion about this, and we will try to spend 5 minutes on this if possible. Yari, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Yari. My opinion is that it would be useful to have some of these discussions. My experience is that when we talk about what's going on in our communities, it's actually useful for other people to understand that, and it generates also useful input for us. I don't know if there are ICG-level things to discuss at this stage. Maybe there are. I'm not saying there isn't. Like, I don't have many of those in my mind, but I do think that some of the communities would actually benefit from direct discussion with I don't know, the GAC or other parties at the ICANN meeting. And I would certainly support that and be willing to contribute to such meetings myself.
Joe, go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, I guess my comment is along kind of the lines of what Mary was saying in terms of, I think there is mutual understanding to be had. So, for instance, I can easily imagine that some questions that might come up in an exchange with ALAC would also be useful to an audience that included members of the business community. And I was trying to figure out if there is a way to blend these sessions into a larger version of the public community session so that everyone gets to benefit from hearing that, as opposed to having all of the one-off meetings that are being suggested as additional.
Thanks, Joe. I, just from my perspective, I wasn't really viewing them as an either-or. I was just viewing the side meetings
what I'm suggesting is that the questions that are going to be asked in these separate meetings, the answers to them may be something useful, and if we're having people who aren't part of the ICANN community perhaps try to join for a meeting to hear that, then their opportunity is going to be limited to one thing. They're not going to be there because they're not part of the ICANN process for the entire thing.
Adiel.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Alyssa. My comment is a little bit in line with what Joe just said. I think it would better serve the purpose of this kind of meeting if the consultation happened publicly, where everybody can benefit from everybody else inquiry. It is good to have to meet people, but my concern is about sustainability of the approach, because that is one forum, and we can have other forum where people would like to have a direct dialogue with the ICG, and they won't be able to have it. But as we have already space within the ICANN program where we are holding a public meeting or consultation with the community, maybe we should craft that consultation session in the way that we give enough time to different ICANN constituency to come up with their question or concern, which means we communicate to them very politely, declining the direct consultation, but requesting them to prepare their concern, their question, and raise them during the public consultation that we are going to hold on Thursday, so that it make it open to everybody. We don't duplicate the thing, and I think it's also more open, more transparent. I mean.
Thank you, Adiel. Heather, go ahead.
Thank you. So I think I'm very much in line with the thinking around having the public session, as well as doing some additional meetings focused on particular parts of the community. As with any meeting, it's good to be clear about how those meetings will be structured and so forth. And I know Patrick is going to do his utmost to prepare and help to structure those exchanges if we do have them with various parts of the community at ICANN. Just to offer some explanation about why this request has come from the GAC to have an exchange with the ICG. It's really because of, I guess, the culture or the expectations that governments have about trying to understand processes like this. And we heard early on in the ICG process about the importance of having or being attentive to the political dimension of this work and acknowledging that if governments are engaged at the beginning and have some degree of comfort with how things are going to proceed, that really it's going to be beneficial to the process overall. And for governments having the ICG make the effort and drawing first and foremost on the GAC participants that are in the ICG to lead an exchange, that will be seen very positively. If the ICG does not meet with the GAC in this case, it's possible that could be seen negatively, or you could have missed an opportunity to help build some understanding among government representatives. And I don't think we can really underestimate the degree of challenge we still have to communicate about how the coordination group is working and related matters. To that, so I would really encourage you to view this as a really good opportunity for the ICG. As I said at an earlier meeting, it's a bit of diplomacy that the ICG I think can afford, and there's only a positive to come from it. Whereas if we did not have this meeting, it could be understood negatively, and a really good chance to do some briefing and to get governments better acquainted with this process would have been missed. So I hope that explains at least what is driving the request coming from the GAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. So I think, and I know that we're over time already, so I want to be respectful of people's time. So here's what I would propose. I think we can do a couple of things, and people have suggested these items in the chat room as well. I think one thing we can do is attempt to extend our existing public session by some length. My impression is that we don't have a lot of flexibility with scheduling just at the moment, but we can talk to Alice about that and see if we can get a little more time so that we make sure that we have enough time to do this sort of in-depth community engagement. I think the other thing that would make sense is for the communities that have requested specifically, time to talk to ICG members, I can respond to them and say that at the very minimum, there are individuals from some operational communities, not necessarily representing the ICG, who are interested in that kind of engagement. Certainly the IETF/IAB there's at least one of them, because I know that the IETF and IAB are interested in doing the one-off engagements, and so that they can proceed with their scheduling, and we can continue perhaps discussing on the mailing list. I can issue a call on the mailing list if there are other individuals from specific communities who want to join in and do that jointly. Then we can perhaps take that offline, or if it looks like there's actually a lot of interest from ICG folks, then we can sort of revert to doing it as an ICG thing. But I think for now we need to get back to them on the scheduling point. So I think we should tell them that there's at least community interest, even if there's not necessarily ICG consensus, that it should be an ICG initiative.
Lisa?
Alicia?
Yes,
Mary,
go ahead.
Mary here.
Go ahead, Mary.
I understand what you're saying, and going by what Rebecca had proposed, I did say during in the mailing list, why not we consider the cross-country working group, CCWG, that you have all the constituencies there, and if we have interaction with them, it will be opportunity for those that will be contributing, those that will be crafting the proposal, hear from us, ask questions, and we give clarifications to them. Apart from the open forum, I don't know whether we should consider that. So that is just where all the constituencies in my community, including GAG and all the other constituencies in my community, if it is acceptable by members, so we use that opportunity to allow them to ask questions and make clarifications. Since that working group will be the working group that will come up with the proposal.
Thank you.
Alicia, this is my hand. I don't know whether I have seen you or not. If still there is time.
Yes, just one follow-up with Mary, and then we'll go to you, Cavus. So I guess my question on that, Mary, is who is doing the scheduling for that group, and I will follow up with you offline so we can figure out how the scheduling is working for that group or that session. Go ahead, Kavus, and then I think we'll wrap after
I tend to agree with Joe and Adil and with the summary that you have given for the time being. Yeah. We don't need to foresee such an individual meeting or individual community and so on and so forth. We should limit the number to the minimum, absolutely minimum necessary, and make it larger but not explicitly for a specific group. So I tend to agree to those two proposals and plus what you have summarized at the end. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So I think we should close. I will send a note to the mailing list that sort of explains the proposal here for moving forward. But it sounds like at the very least we need to ask for more time for the ICG and see what we get out of that. And we will continue the rest of the discussion on the mailing list. And I will respond to the scheduling requests to indicate that individual communities might be interested, but perhaps not the full ICG. So with that, I think we should close the call. Thank you, everyone, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, and bye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you a lot.